then, please turn to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. That's right after 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. This morning we're going to continue didn't intend for it to be a series on praise, but we're going to continue on praise this morning. Last week we had a picture painted for us by the writer of the book of Hebrews. We don't know who exactly wrote Hebrews, as to what a mediocre spiritual life looks like. And listen, to be honest with you, we can look around on the church on Sunday morning and see what a mediocre spiritual life looks like. Can we not? Didn't get an amen, but it's the truth. Hey, people don't mind coming on Sunday morning. They'll get dressed and they'll put some perfume on and put clean underwear on and a t-shirt and socks and a dress and a suit, and they'll come. But that's about it. That's all they're going to give God. We can look and see a spiritual mediocrity on Sunday morning a lot of times. Now, this writer told us last week to learn to recognize the voice of God. Do not harden our heart when we hear the voice of God. Remember what happened to those who did harden their hearts to God's voice. And listen, not to harden our hearts and to continually watch out that we will not let evil seep into our lives. We learn that as lives take place, as life takes place, we let issues that we just mentioned slowly just seep into our lives, little parts of our lives, and after a period of time, they have consumed large portions of our joy, and very little evidence of God and excitement is left behind. I believe our Savior deserves better than that. Amen? I believe that what Jesus did for us, He deserves better than that. This morning, I want us to see a picture of total praise. Not just a little bit, not a little bit of excitement, but because we as Christians, we'll get excited every now and then. Ooh, hey, Brother Kyle's preaching for my favorite scripture this morning. Woo-woo! You know, that's my song. I like that song. And you'll get a little excited. This morning, I want to paint a picture of total, absolute praise. So look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I could read this whole chapter, but I want to start in verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 12. It was reported to King David, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's family and all the belongings to him because the ark of God. So David went and had the ark of God brought to Obed-Edom's house, from Obed-Edom's house, to the city of David with rejoicing. When those carrying the ark of the Lord advanced just 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fatted calf. Church, David was dancing with all his might before the Lord, wearing a linen ephod. He had the whole house of Israel, he and the whole house of Israel, were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of ram's horn. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Saul's daughter Michal looked down from a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place inside the tent David had set up for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings in the Lord's presence. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed a loaf of bread, date cake, and raisin cake. They had a church fellowship, what's taking place here, to each one of the whole multitude of the people of Israel, both men and women. Then all the people left, each to his own home. When David returned home to bless his household, Saul's daughter Michal came to him out to meet him. How the king of Israel honored himself today, she said. He exposed himself today in the sight of the slave girls of his subjects with a vulgar person, like a vulgar person, would expose himself. David replied to Michael, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me over your father and his whole family to appoint me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will humble myself even before and humiliate myself. I will be honored by the slave girls that you spoke about." And Saul's daughter Michal had no child to the day of her death. Let us pray. Father, we're here in your presence this morning. We've already felt your presence, and we thank you. God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for what you continue to do, what you're going to do. And God, we pray that you would be with us right now. I pray that you would still our hearts. God, I pray that you would still our minds. I pray that you'd still our feet. God, help us to just sit still and listen to the word that you won't preach this morning. Not to me, because it's not me, God, it's all you. Lord, help us to receive this message to be better Christians when we walk through those doors here shortly into our mission fields, the place that you've given us to serve you. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. This morning I want us to see a picture of total praise, and I hope you saw it. I hope you saw a picture of total praise this morning, because we're going to look a little closer right now. Now, I'm sure there are those who are sitting among us right now who would say, well, you know, this is just the way David liked to praise. It was his style. It was just who he was. After all, David was given the distinction of being the man after God's own heart. So it was just his natural inclination to worship God in this manner. I want to ask you this question. Do you see him doing it anywhere else? Do you see David having this praise party when he slew Goliath? Do you see it when he was anointed king by Samuel? Do you see it when he was out there herding the sheep and he's called in to stand before Samuel? Do you see it anywhere else? No, but you see it today. Something happened, church, and we're going to talk about it. Church, I don't understand what I'm about to say, but I know it to be true. It's hard for us to praise others, and even harder to hear others receive praise. Now, I'm going to say that again, because it's the truth. It is hard for us to praise others, and even harder to hear others receive praise. It's almost like it is going to kill us to praise someone or hear others praise someone. After all, they're not as good as we are, right? It's okay. Y'all look here. It's okay. Listen to me. This is what happens. Somebody gets a promotion. Now, you hear about this promotion a couple days before or a couple weeks before it's about to take place. Oh, hey, so-and-so left. He left the company. He went to sell insurance for Allstate. Well, that's great. Hey, his job's getting ready to come up on the board, right? Probably that's way out at the paper plant. His job's getting ready to be posted on the board. Finally, the position is posted up there on the board, and everybody walks up to the board to see the new posting. And nobody says anything. You know, there's four or five people around, and you don't say, hey, I'm going to sign up for that. You know, don't sign up. I'm going to sign up for that. But you sign up for that position in great hopes that you are going to receive that position. You know why? Because after all, you're the most qualified, right? Right? So 2 weeks go by, and many people go in there, and they sign up for this position that's on the board that you're qualified, you're most qualified for. And listen, the day finally comes. They announce who is getting that position. And it ain't you. Now, this is what we do, isn't it? Hey, George, man, hey, I heard you got that position. You are the most qualified person. I'm happy for you. You're going to do a great job. I know you are. Isn't that what we do? That's what we do, isn't it? You know, we're excited about that person, and we give them praise, and we lift. Isn't that what we do? Absolutely not. You know what we do? We walk up to the very first person we can who kind of aligns themselves with us, So did you hear about old George? George can't even spell that job. They just made him the operator. He can't spell operator. He don't even know what an operator is. He hadn't been here as long as I've been here. Listen, I know how to run every machine in my department. I know how to maintain every machine in my department. I know how to change the bearings out on every machine in my department. You know how I know how to do it? Because I've done it. George doesn't even know that machines have bearings. And they gave him the job. Can I tell you, listen to me, can I tell you how I know that that attitude exists? Because that was me. That was me. Hey, listen, when I didn't get the supervisors, the second shift supervisors, I can't even say it now, I'm still mad. In the SPK department at Charlotte Pipe, I was mad. Hey, listen, I ran every machine in that department. I was the first one there and the last one to leave. I got the first bull of iron, molten iron, every morning and the last one. Why? Because I didn't want to stay an operator. I wanted to be more, and I did everything I could to be more. And when the guy got the job ahead of me, I didn't go congratulate him. You know what I did? I ran him down. After all, he was one of the guys in the head office's son. He didn't get it because he earned it or he deserved it, right? It is not natural for us to have this attitude of total praise. It's not. It's actually the opposite. It's natural for us, hold on a second. You aren't acting Christian. Yeah, everybody has to bring Jesus into these things, right? Even when Jesus is in us, like we say, it's not the natural thing to do. But it ought to be. It ought to be. Listen, church, please understand something that is very important for us to grasp about human nature. Praise and worship, true praise and worship, is not manufactured by man. It's not. It's absolutely not manufactured by man. True praise and worship is an outward display of what is most definitely taking place in the life of a believer. But what causes that outward praise to come out of a person? Now, let me simplify it here. It is not natural for us to do what David did. It's not. But David couldn't contain himself. He had to do what we saw him do today. So what takes place in the life of a believer where the inward, what's taking place inwardly, has to come out? What happens? Well, what happened to David that David could no longer control his praise? I believe that we can follow the events that took place earlier in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and see how this praise service was building. It didn't start off, but Bob, it was building. It was absolutely, positively building. 1 Samuel chapter 16 records that God anointed David to be king as a young boy. I am sure that David didn't understand all of what was taking place when Samuel anointed him to be the next king. But church, David's praise started growing right there. It probably even started growing before then, but I mean, I think we can recognize it right here. It was not being displayed total praise yet, but it was now born. Now, did David worship God at this time? Yeah. Did David sing to God and play instruments to God? Yeah. Was he praising God with all that was in him, like we see in the 2 Samuel? Not yet. Not yet. But it was coming. He was coming. Now, if you follow the life of David through the book of 1 Samuel, you'll see God's hand of protection on his life, from saving him as he stood in the battle with Goliath to the many attempts on his life by King Saul. We can see that his praise is starting to elevate. It's building up. He's not going to be able to control it much longer. Listen, David did not understand why Saul wanted to kill him. He didn't. Multiple times, Saul sought after David all throughout the book of 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel, trying to not just discipline him, but to kill him. Not himself. He got troops of men to seek David out and to kill him. Now, we don't see David, you know, praising him the way we do in our scripture this morning. Not yet. It's coming. But what we do see David doing is this. He had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he would not touch the anointed of God. Why is that? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you. You come in here trying to kill me. I'm not going to just sit. Amy and I were talking about all the events of this past week. If you have a gun and I'm going to die, one of two things is going to take place. I am going to die trying to take that gun out of your hand, or I am going to die getting shot in the back running. Okay? That's just me. Now, if you point blank ask me, are you a Christian? I'm going to say yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And then I'm going to try and take that gun or I'm going to run. I'm not afraid to tell people I'm a Christian. And listen, in the grand scheme of things, bullets not that bad of a way to die. Right? Nobody's signing up for it. Listen, David, in our mind, in our right mind, Saul was trying to kill him. That's fine, let him come. I'll kill him. Saul was at the point of David's knife, and David could have killed him, but he refused to kill the anointed of God. His worship was growing. His praise was growing. He didn't understand everything that was taking place, but he soon would. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 5 that David is anointed king at the age of 30. That God leads David to attack and destroy the stronghold of the Jebusites, who had said to David, this is what the Jebusites said to David. Now, this is kind of insulting to say to a king, but this is what they said to him. Even our blind and our lame could repel you, David. But God didn't allow it to happen. We see in chapter 5, two times David facing an outrageous odds against the Philistine armies. And God not only gave David victory, God told David exactly how to obtain victory. The second time the Philistines came in, David went to God and said, God, they're back again. These Philistines are back again. What do I do? And God says, listen, do not attack them with a frontal attack. Don't do it. He said, I want you to circle around the backside. When you hear the winds blow in the tops of the trees, you'll know that my spirit is there. And he said, then you attack them. Listen, God didn't just defeat them. He gave David the ultimate description of what he needed to do to defeat these Philistine armies. The second time, do y'all see his praise growing? Mr. Hallman, do you see his praise growing? It's growing. Church, it's growing. He's about to lose it. Now, we can see that in the first 12 verses of chapter 6, which we didn't read, that the ark of God was being moved to the city of David. When Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, he was struck dead. The ark was halted and kept at the house of Obadiah for 3 months, and his house was blessed greatly. Church, God showed David what was taking place at that house. And David said, listen, we've got to bring that to the city of David. We've got to bring that to Jerusalem. We've got to experience the fullness of God's blessing as a united people. We've got to experience that. Church, His praise was growing. When we reach verse 14 in 2 Samuel, David has reached his peak and he could not contain himself any longer, and his inward admiration for God was displayed outwardly. What was taking place inside of him? He could not contain it anymore. He couldn't take it anymore. It was like somebody putting pop rocks from the 80s in your mouth and holding your nose. You're going to have to spit them out. I love those pop rocks. You're going to have to spit them out. You can't contain it any longer. And this is what happened when we read what we read this morning with David. Well, church, what is it? What happened in the time frame in David's life that he couldn't contain it anymore? What is it? What was building? Well, number one, David realized who God was at an early age. God revealed himself to David. Did y'all see it? From an early age, God revealed himself to David. And David glorified God. Now, was it always the way we see it today? No. But it was building. Listen, the second thing I want you to see is this. God called David to service. Y'all remember when Saul was given those demons that just controlled his mind? Y'all remember that? Who was called in to play the harp to ease Saul, King Saul's mind? David. At an early age, David was called into service, God's service. So he knew who God was. He worshiped God. Third thing I want you to see is this. God protected David in times of his service. He just does that with David. He doesn't do that for everybody. Right? Everywhere David walked, God protected him. Everywhere David walked, God protected him. Brother Kyle, what else did you see? David saw the hand of God at work time and time and time again. When David had seen God move just one more time, he broke and praised God with total praise. Notice what God did in verse 14. What David did in verse 14. Verse 14 tells us this. David danced with all his might. All his might. Now, I know we're Southern Baptists. We don't dance. At church. Now, we get at home. And that old song that you used to listen to back in the day comes on, and you look around, see if the kids, sometimes it doesn't matter whether the kids are there or not. And that song comes on, and you get that rocking. You dance, right? I've never really understood, I've never understood why we kind of inhibit that. Now, we ain't going to have a dance party and a disco ball and stuff like that. But if you get excited about Jesus and you just want to, stand up there and just, I'm not going to stop you. And I'm going to try to prohibit anybody else from stopping. Well, that's just not reverent. Well, I don't know. Is it? I mean, we ain't going to come down here and break dance or anything like that. But getting excited about Jesus? Who are we to say you can't get excited about Jesus? You need to calm down. Well, why? We see God's the one who's stirring up, and we need to calm down? Listen, what else happened? David danced in a linen ephod. Now, there are many descriptions of an ephod. A priest wore an ephod, and it was from shoulders to toes. Okay? And at the end of it, it had tassels on it. And it was an elaborate ephod. Now, some of them were thin, where you could see through, and they wore an outer garment that displayed the bottom of the ephod. Some scholars believe that David just had on the outer ephod, and he wasn't wearing anything under it, and that's why Michael rebuked him, because, he was dancing around the ark of God, and you could see his nakedness under it. There are other scholars who believe that this ephod was a smaller garment. It was just kind of like underwear, and he was out there dancing before the Lord in his underwear, exposing himself, and that's why his wife said what she said to him. But listen, this is what I want you to understand about what David did dancing with the clothes that he had on. Y'all with me? This is deep theological information I'm getting ready to share with you. David did not care. He didn't care. He didn't care anymore. Y'all with me? It had built and built and built and built up in him, and he had seen the hand of God so many times. Now listen, was David going to fail later on? Oh yeah. Was he going to be tempted later on? Oh yeah. You know, was God going to allow things to happen in his life later on? Oh yeah. Listen, his own son was going to come after him, but not this point in time. Listen, it was building. This praise was building. And he couldn't take it anymore. Have y'all ever seen anybody that just couldn't take it anymore? And they just had to praise God? I have. I have several times. I told y'all about old Tim McGuffin. I can't remember whether I've told you about Amy Wydell, though. Have I ever told you about her? Heard the car pull up one night in the driveway, Bob, in Rock Hill. And this is when I wasn't spiritual. I was barely saved, y'all. And I heard the car pull up, and I could hear, boom, boom, boom. I was like, golly, what? I can't believe that neighbor kid. I'm sick of that. I'm gonna get my BB gun. I'm going to shoot his windows out or something when he goes, boom, boom, boom. And I look out the window, and I don't see anything, and then I look again. And I peek around the corner because our garage is kind of around the corner, and I see the minivan up there, and I'm seeing this right here in the front seat. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And then I hear it. It's Mary, Mary, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. And I see my wife out there she's going to town. You know what's happened? Do you know what's happened? Can I tell you what happened? Listen, she'd had enough. She'd been to a prayer meeting and a women's prayer meeting. Y'all get down in the prayer meetings, I'm telling you. And they had church. They did one of them Beth Moore cult studies. You know what I'm talking about? And they had gotten it on. And they were praying afterwards. And she was listening to Christian music on the way home. And this song came on. And what happened is she couldn't control it anymore. She tried to suppress it because that's what we do. We try to suppress because we have to be reverent. We don't want to get out of control. But she couldn't contain it anymore. And I looked out there and she was praising God. You know what I did? I closed the blinds and sat down. Because only good things can happen when your wife is praising God. You know that scripture, wives, honor your husbands, for this is the will of God? That, you know, comes into play. When she comes in the house, I mean, I figured I was going to get a foot washing or something. You leave them alone. You let them praise. Angie, that was funny. You should have laughed. You leave them alone. David danced before the Lord. He wore an ephod before the Lord. Listen, verse 20 and 21 tell us that David received a rebuke from his wife, from his praise, and he did not care. Didn't care. Listen, we don't see him really. We see a few words that he says to her. But you know, back in that day, Jeff, back in that day, if a woman said something to you, especially if you're a king, you could just whoosh, you could smack her. You know what I'm saying? And especially the king. Y'all know the story of Esther. Esther, she was afraid to go into the king's presence when she was told by Mordecai, listen, you need to stand up for the Jewish people. She was scared. Why? Because he could have killed her. David, for the response that his wife, he gave her a little rebuke, but not a whole lot. Do you know why? Listen, he realized, hey, listen, you're wrong. I know what I was doing. God's going to take care of you. And God did take care of you. You took care of him. He took care of her. Do you know what the greatest joy of a woman was back in that day? To birth a child. To birth a child. God said, listen, David, just let me take care of it. Her whole life went by and she never birthed the child. He said, I'll handle it. Church, do you see what total praise is? It's praising God with all that you have inside of you, not caring who is watching, what they say or what they do. You may be sitting here this morning and thinking to yourself, I just do not approve of this kind of praise. But let me tell you something, Christian. When you find yourself in the presence of a holy and a righteous God, you too, just like we saw David this morning, you will not be able to contain yourself. You won't. Oh, yes, I will. No, you won't. Yes, I... No, you won't. Listen, when you take your last breath of stale air on here in this earth and you open your eyes in heaven and you take that first deep breath of heavenly air, good, righteous air, and you find yourself standing, and it's going to happen. You better be ready. And you find yourself standing in front of Jesus. You are going to fall at His feet. You are. Because for the first time, you're going to see yourself through His eyes. How unrighteous you were. And listen, after this point, you're going to, oh my heavens, I'm standing in the presence of Jesus. Then your praise is going to get turned on. And He's probably going to have to settle you down. Listen. Calm down. It's okay. Listen, we're good here. Why then? Why not now? Church, I can only imagine that after we give God our total praise in His presence, a short time after that, we'll ask ourselves, why in the world did I wait so long to do this? Why? Now, listen, I'm not so much advocating that we get up here and we're, you know, no. But what I am advocating is this, that we transition ourselves from this. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Are you serious, man? Are you serious? Listen to the words that you're singing. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. That's how you're going to be singing it when you stand before Him. Why not today? Goodness gracious, as people drive by this church on a cool day, we ought to leave the doors open like they do in Nicaragua, and people driving by thinking, what in the world's going on there? I'll tell you what's going on. They're having church. Would be to God that the church that God loves and God created would act like the church and praise God like the church. Total praise. We look at David with condemnation, scoff at David, just like his wife did. And as we do, don't you dare think that God's not rebuking you the way He did her. Church, let's praise God now for the world to see that His love, He has this unbelievable love for us, and it's real, and our love for Him is true. Listen to this as I close. Listen to this. The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain. Thanking God during the trials, trusting Him when we're tempted to lose hope, and loving Him when he seems so distant and so far away. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my saddest, God is my comforter. You've got time right now. Today, every day, to praise God. Not just inside these walls. Listen to me. You've heard me say this before. Honest to goodness, God's really not impressed with what you do inside these walls. He's not. You ought to want to be in the house of God every single time the doors are open. You ought to want to be here to worship Him. God's more impressed with what you do outside those doors. I'll never forget Randy Coley's daddy. Everywhere that man went, he was humming and singing hymns of God. Everywhere he went, he was humming and singing hymns of God. And what the choir was singing, Why? Because he had a joy in his heart and he had to let it come out. And people would hear it. People who hadn't been in church in years but grew up in church knew that he was humming and singing "Just As I Am." That he was humming and singing "Amazing Grace." That he was humming and singing "How Great Thou Art." He was praising God. You know why? He couldn't contain it anymore. Listen, church, stop containing it. Let it come out. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love you. Let our praise this morning show you how much that we love you, Lord. God, open our eyes and our minds. Help us to see ourselves right now the way you see us. Lord, we understand that this is your time of invitation. And if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray, God, that you would give them the courage to take that first step down this aisle. Let me show them what the Word of God says they must do to inherit eternal life. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who knows they've been suppressing the praise that you've given, God, I pray that you'd help them to find their place down here at this altar and just spend some time with you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning? Will you come?